If you take your Bible with me, please turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12. But before we jump into this sermon, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, as we turn to the portion of our service where we look now at your word, God, my prayer is that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would take what is said from your word, the examples, the teaching, the truth from your word, that you would apply it in our lives and show us where we need conviction, where we need to change, where we need encouragement, Lord, and where we can be comforted knowing that we are doing what we need to do. God, whatever it is that you need to teach us, we pray that you would speak to us through this time together. So Lord, please speak to us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Have you ever left a situation, maybe a conversation or an interaction with someone where you think, I should have said, you regret not saying something, there's something you should have done or should have said? I've done this time and time again in my life, but the most regrettable of those times are the times when I walk away from an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, but I didn't share Jesus with them. There are people that I can think of from high school, from college, to growing up in the church, to even conversations since I've become an adult, where I was like, hey, I really should have spoken to those people about Jesus. And the words of God to the prophet Ezekiel haunt me at times. This is what God said. He says, if I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked person to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. That verse reminds me of my missed opportunities, of the blood that is on my hands, because I did not warn that person of the death that awaited them. You see, Jesus' last words are of first importance when we think about sharing the gospel with others, right? In Matthew 28, which we call the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples and us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Basically, what Jesus is telling us at the end of his time here on earth before he ascends into heaven is to reach people and disciple them. I want to encourage you today by telling you that God has a brilliant strategy to reach your community and your it. We can't simply hope people will show up to our church. We can't hope that they will find Christ. We can't hope that their life will be forever changed by His amazing grace. It's a good emotion to have, that that wishing, that hoping in the worldly sense of the word hope for people to do things, but it's a lousy strategy in trying to reach them with the gospel. The strategy also isn't a program or a church building. We talk about this if you're watching the weekly Bible studies, online Bible studies. We're talking about everyday community, things that we do every day ordinarily, but with gospel intentionality. It's not something we do as a church, like a program or a building, getting them here to the church. It's about reaching them where they're at. See, Jesus cares about the people in our circles of influence, and He is looking for you and for me to reach them. So before we get too far, I just want to ask a question. How many people are at this church or at another church, in church, growing in their faith because of your efforts to reach them? How many friends, co-workers, or people in the community are actively involved in church because of the time you have spent praying for them, loving them, and pointing them toward Jesus? You see, the final charge of Jesus was for us to reach people, to connect with friends, family, co-workers, people in our community, people at the gym, people at the grocery store, and other people that God has brought into our lives, and lovingly point them toward a relationship with our Savior, Jesus. But statistically, less than 5% of people in the United States have brought someone to church or connected them to Jesus in the last year. A good example for us to follow that we're going to look at this morning is Matthew, when he was brand new in his relationship with Jesus. So let's see how he reached people. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew, as soon as he is called by God, Jesus walks by and says, "Follow me." He leaves what he's doing. He follows him, which is so typical of what we see in the New Testament when Jesus calls disciples. He has an approach to reaching people. And we see it in these verses. He had a three-step approach. And I know that, you know, 3 points in a poem is what used to work in sermons. But I've got 3 points this morning because what Matthew does is a three-step approach. First step, invest. The idea here is to connect relationally with those in our circle of influence. Notice what Matthew does. He starts with those he already has a relationship with. Matthew is a tax collector. So who comes to the table to meet Jesus? It's tax collectors and sinners. Those are the ones who come with Matthew to meet Jesus. These are people that he's already been investing in through his work, or he already has a relationship with. Some probably live right there with him. We also have people who God has put in our circle, people who have come into some sort of relationship with us, whether it's a deeper relationship or a peripheral relationship or just surface level, whatever it may be. And these people are not going to be in my circle. They're not going to be in someone else's circle. God has them in your circle, and he's looking for you to reach them. So your circle of friends, of influences, of acquaintances, whatever it is, he's looking for you not to wait on others, but to take action because eternity is at stake. Sometimes I hear people, and I do this myself, talk about how they aren't really around non-believers. You know, I'm in the ministry. I work at church. I'm constantly surrounded by believers or professed believers, but it's not God's strategy for us to be isolated from people who are far from Jesus. So I want to encourage us to invest in those far from Jesus, spend time with them, and allow those relationships to help you point them toward Jesus. And this is, again, something that if you're able to and you're watching our online Bible studies throughout the weeks when we're talking about this, this is what we're talking about. Being involved in everyday life to be able to reach people with the gospel. We need to get strategic about spending time investing in people. If you have a job, those that you work with. If you go to the gym, those that you go to the gym with. If you go to the grocery store or a gas station or Walmart or wherever it is that you go and you meet these people and you're invested in these people, the people who work there, the people who shop at the same times that you shop, whatever it may be. We need to be strategic about those, especially if we've only had casual conversations with them. Maybe now's the time to take that extra step and go a little bit deeper in our relationship. Invest in those in your circle. And if there are some that are kind of standing on the outside, reach out to them and spend time with them and bring them in, because God has them there for a reason. He's got them where you're at for a reason, so that you can reach them, so that you can invest in them, so that I can reach the people that you may never have an opportunity to reach, so that you can reach people that I may never have an opportunity to reach. Invest in them, in the lost, in those who are far from Jesus, in tax collectors and sinners. The second step is to invite them. The idea here is to ask your friends and coworkers or whoever are in your sphere of influence to a place where they can meet Jesus. And that is what Matthew does. So he's got tax collectors and sinners. These are his friends. These are the people that he knows that he has a relationship with. He takes the next step. Having a relationship may not be a real challenge. The real challenge is in that second step, that actually crossing the line into a conversation of inviting them to a place where they can meet Jesus. It may be inviting them to church or to something that is happening at church or to an event, a gospel proclaiming event. But it could just be your home or to lunch or to wherever you are. You can invite them to meet Jesus. I read a story in preparing this sermon of a pastor who greeted a guest at his church. And the guest seemed to recognize a member of the church who was up on the stage getting things set up for the worship service. He asked a couple of questions to make sure that it really was the guy he thought that it was. And then he said this to the pastor: "I see him every day at work, and I had no idea he went to church. He never mentioned it." If we're honest, we probably all could say that that's true of us. That there are people in our lives that could say the same thing about us. "Oh, well, I worked with them. I knew them. I saw them all of the time. I never knew that they had a relationship with Jesus. I never knew that they went to church." They know us, but they don't know the most important thing about us, and that is our relationship that we have with Jesus. We need to love the people in our life enough to share what we know will change their life. Yes, we love them, tax collectors and sinners, because we are tax collectors and sinners. We are sinners as well. We're in the same boat. We love them, but we want to share with them the greatest news ever, and that is that Jesus came to save them from their sin and to offer them eternity with Him. So invite people. Love them enough to share that news. Invite them to meet Jesus and see what God does. We invest in the lost. We invite them to meet Jesus. And then the third step is to include. The idea here is not to just invite them and say, "All right, they prayed a prayer," or "We did our part, it's over," but to include them, to get them around the church community. Again, not just a Sunday morning thing, but an everyday community. I'm loving how this is tying in with what we're doing on Wednesday or on weekdays through the study that we're doing weekly. The truth is that people don't want to just believe. They want to belong. They want to be a part of something. They want to be a part of a community. And we have the greatest community on earth, the community of believers. And they can see that. We can show them that. We can include them in that. They want to be a part of this community. You see, sometimes we get hung up as churches on wanting to be a friendly church. And that's one of the things I love about Bienvenue, is that you can come to this church as a guest, and I promise you that organically, not forced, but organically, you will have multiple people come and speak to you and talk to you and want to get to know more about you and want you to come back and be a part of what's happening here at Bienvenue. But people aren't looking for just a friendly church. They're looking for friends. They're looking for people to share life with. So let's look at Matthew again. Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were not popular in those days. But one thing I notice and admire about Matthew is that he didn't make excuses. He didn't say, well, I'm not gifted in talking to other people, or I'm not an extrovert. He did what he could to make Jesus known to the people in his circle. He invited them. He included them in what was going on in his life, invited them to meet Jesus, to be a part of what he was doing while he was here on this earth. And that's what we have to do. We have to make Jesus known and invite people to be a part of what God is doing, that he has offered us salvation through Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, life abundant and life eternal. And that's something that we can share and include other people in. So let's invest in people, invite them to Jesus, and then include them in the community of faith. See, God has a brilliant strategy to reach your community, and you're it. The body of Christ is the church, and that body was meant to grow and become bigger and stronger. It was meant to reach the people in its community. So if you are a Christian this morning, you are a part of that body, and you have a role in making those things happen. And nothing brings more life to a body than new blood. And when we say new blood for the body of Christ, it's new believers. You'll see the church begin to thrive with new passion when people who have never experienced Jesus experience him for the first time. And that fire will start to light the fire of those whose fire may have gone out or dwindled a little bit over the years, right? That passion will ignite passion, and enthusiasm will ignite enthusiasm, and you will see the church of God grow and become stronger. So this morning, listen to his voice and follow his command. Help people find Jesus. Partner with the church in reaching the people in your community. It's all part of God's brilliant strategy. And the crazy thing is that he allows us the privilege to be a part of it all. God could do this on his own, but he gives us the privilege to be a part of his outreach, his evangelism, his mission, his building of his kingdom. We get to sow the seeds that he reaps, you know, that he grows and brings to germination, to fulfillment. So will you commit today to invest in the lost, to invite them to Jesus, and then to include them in the community of faith? If you're not a Christian and you're watching this morning, the good news today is that you can come to Jesus for this salvation. We can invite you to Jesus right now, and you can come to Jesus right now. The Bible tells us that there's good news and there's bad news. But before we can get to the good news, we've got to understand the bad news. The bad news is that we are all sinners, you included. And that the only way that that you can have a relationship with God is for your sin to be dealt with. The worst news is that there's no way for you to do that. There's no way for us on our own to deal with our sin. Instead, we need somebody else to do it. And God, in His infinite wisdom, in His mercy and love and grace, sent His Son, Jesus, to deal with our sin. And He did it in this way. He lived a perfect, sinless life, something that you and I could never do. Then He died on a cross and paid the penalty for the sins that we have committed. And so what happens is, according to God's Word, when we call on the name of the Lord, when we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, the great exchange happens. What happens is that God takes Jesus' perfect life and He substitutes it in the place of your imperfect, sinful life. So now when He looks at your life, He sees the life of Christ, perfect, sinless, so you can be holy and have and righteous and have a relationship with God, something that you could not do on your own. But our sin still has to be dealt with, so He takes our sin and He puts it on Christ's account. And when Jesus was on the cross, He paid it in full. So now we have a relationship with God through Jesus. And His Holy Spirit lives within us, testifying along with us, witnessing along with us that we are children of God. And you can have that salvation if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that those who are hearing this message this morning would respond in obedience to You. However You want them to respond, God. If it's people in their lives that they haven't been sharing the gospel with, they haven't been investing in and inviting to Jesus or including in the community of faith, wherever they're at in that three-step approach, God, I pray that they would repent and turn and commit to be faithful to do those things, because that's what You've called us to do. We don't hope that people will show up. We want to be a part of getting them here, because You have called us to go and to tell and to reach and disciple people. Lord, help us to do that. Father, if there's somebody watching who doesn't know You, I pray that today would be the day that they cry out to You for salvation. That they would say that Jesus is their Lord, He's the Master, He's the one in control, and that they would believe the great exchange, that if they confess and believe that You have substituted Jesus' life for theirs and You have put their sin on the cross, that He paid it in full, and God, they can now have a relationship with You. Lord, I pray that You would just move mightily in the hearts and lives of all of those who are watching this morning. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.